Will you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11? I'm going to read verse 25, and then we're going to start back at verse 1. But let's start in verse 25. Looking at what Jesus said about himself, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me live even though they die." Now, we understand, all of us in here know, what resurrection is. Something is dead and it's brought back to life. And all of us know the story of Lazarus and what happens in this story. But what I want to do today, as we kind of open this story up and dive into it, I want to look at some of the people, characters in this story. And when I say characters, I don't want it to sound like this is just a made-up story. This is something that happened. And I believe we can relate to some of the people and how they had to handle the situations. We can relate to several of the people in this story. So before we read John chapter 11, verse 1, let me give you a little bit of context to this. And this is a family that Jesus truly loves. There's a brother and two sisters here, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. This is the Mary that many of you know because she took some perfume, poured it on Jesus' feet, and washed his feet with her hair. So you'll know her from that story. This is the same Mary. And there was quite a relationship here between this family and Jesus. There was a lot of love between the two of them. They saw Jesus for who he was and what he could do, whereas a lot of people in this time didn't. A lot of people were against him. They were totally for Jesus. And you're going to see that as we go through this story. And so Jesus and the disciples have been doing ministry all around Jerusalem. But the people of Jerusalem wanted to kill Jesus. And so he and the disciples fled out into the countryside, and they've been traveling around doing ministry in the countryside. And that's where we're going to pick up in John chapter 11, verse 1. And we're going to be all through this chapter today, learning how we can relate to this. Let's begin reading verse 1. "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha." Once again, it's telling us in verse 2 who this Mary was. Verse 3 says, "So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" Now, why would it say that? Once again, there was quite a relationship here. They cared for one another deeply. And they're believing in who Jesus is, knowing that the one that he loves is sick. So when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death." What an interesting statement. Because we know the story. We know Lazarus dies. Death is part of the story. It's just not the end of the story. But there is death involved. So keep that in mind. Once again, they don't have the privilege we do of reading the Bible and knowing how this goes. So Jesus says, "No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, I don't know about you, but if I had a good friend, and since Jeff texted me this morning, I'm going to use Jeff as my example in this story. Jeff is a pharmacist at Hy-Vee. Therefore, he knows medicine. At least he better if he's going to be doling it out all week, right? So he knows his medicine. If I had a brother who was sick, and Jeff is in Kansas City, he's nowhere nearby, but I know that he knows exactly what my brother needs in order to be well. How many of you know I'm going to be sending for him before death? Before he gets to that point, I want to know that Jeff can get here, get him some medicine, and get him well. And that's exactly what Mary and Martha are doing in the story. They're sending for Jesus. "Jesus, come and help us take care of Lazarus in this moment. He needs you." And what's Jesus' response? Look at what he says. Verse 5, "Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." He loved them. So what's he do? When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Really? He loved him that much that he just said, "Okay, he's sick. I'll catch him in a couple of days." Jeff, please don't do that to me. If I got a brother that's sick, just come on, man. Why? We don't know. Maybe it's because they were trying to kill him. And Jesus is thinking, I'm going to let things settle a little bit before I go back. I don't know. It doesn't make sense to us. But he loved them, so he decides to stay for two more days. And once again, these two sisters are truly relying on Jesus because they know what he is capable of doing. So 2 days go by, and Jesus says to the disciples, let's go back to Judea. And they say, no, if you go there, everybody's going to try to kill you, which would be true. But he says this, no, Lazarus has fallen asleep and we need to go wake him up. Now they're confused because they're thinking, hey, if he's asleep, sleep's what you need to get better when you're sick. But Jesus is talking metaphorically. He's talking about the fact that Lazarus is dead and he needs to be brought back to life. So what I want to do this morning is break down this story with these three characters or these three people that I want to talk about. One of them you haven't even heard of yet in the story. He's not come around yet, but his name is Thomas. Everybody knows him as Doubting Thomas, and he does not let us down in this story. The other two are the sisters, Mary and Martha. So I want to look at each one of these. But let's start with Thomas. Some of you, I believe, can relate to Thomas because Thomas was dead in his doubts. Lazarus was dead. Thomas was dead in his doubts. He had a problem believing that Jesus could do what he said he could do. Look at verse 11. We just talked about this. Jesus went to them and he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going there to wake him up. His disciples said, Lord, if he's asleep, he'll get better. Once again, they're not understanding. So he says, and he clarifies in verse 14 and 15, Lazarus is dead. Once again, how does he know this? How does he know that Lazarus, he got word that he was sick. He did not get word that he had died. But he knows Lazarus is dead. And he says, for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. He knows what he's about to go do. Nobody else does. Nobody in this whole story has a clue what's about to happen to Lazarus, but Jesus knows. And so he says this, but look at verse 16. This is where Doubting Thomas rolls in. He's also known as Didymus. He said to the rest of the disciples, well, let's also go that we may die with him. He's being sarcastic, Doubting Thomas, at this point. All right? We might as well go too, and we'll just die there because Jesus is going to go die because they want to kill him. That's what Thomas is saying. He can't even find the faith to believe that Jesus is going to go back and handle the situation. Here's what I want to know. How many of you would be honest and say, like Thomas, at some point in your life, you've dealt with spiritual doubts? Okay, for the 15 of us that were honest, the rest of you, maybe you'll have more jewels on your crown. I don't know. Maybe you're that lucky. But I think most of us have handled or dealt with some spiritual doubt in our lives. Perhaps your story is you grew up with kind of a simple faith. Just said, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Maybe when you were little, you went to Sunday school and you heard about Jesus. And then Santa Claus, you found out he was fake. And so then you go, well, maybe Jesus isn't real either. You know, I don't know. So maybe that was your struggle, is at a young age you begin to question whether Jesus was even real. Or maybe you believed in God until something really bad happened to someone you love, just like in the story. And all of a sudden, there's doubt that comes creeping in because you're wrestling with this idea of how could a God who loves me allow something like this to happen? There's something on the inside of you that maybe is just a little bit dead because of doubt. Maybe you're like Mary. Mary wasn't dead in her doubt. She was just straight up dead in her discouragement. She had just given up. You just don't see her doing anything in this story. She just stays home. Look at verse 20. It says, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet Jesus. You know why? She wanted to talk to him. We're going to get to Martha in a minute. But what Mary does is absolutely nothing, as to say, why bother? It's too late. Everything's gone down. Lazarus is dead. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. It doesn't matter anymore. He's dead. And maybe that's you. Maybe where you're at right now is you just think, I can't change anything in my life. I'm always going to feel alone. I'm always going to be depressed. I seem to be stuck in this dead-end job. I seem to be stuck in a dead-end marriage. And I just feel stuck and discouraged. And maybe you're like Mary. You're just dead and discouraged. Well, let's look at Martha. Martha was dead in the delay. Man, she was not happy. I don't know that she wanted to meet Jesus outside because she was excited to see him. I think she wanted to tell him how she was feeling, because we see that. Jesus should have come back earlier, but he didn't. He didn't come when they sent for him. So verse 17 says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus has already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, in this time that we're talking about here, there was this belief that when a body died, the spirit would kind of hover for about 3 days. This was not a Christian belief. This is not biblical. It's not in the Bible. But it's a kind of a folklore, if you would, that if a person died, their spirit would separate, but he would hover over the body for about 3 days. But after that, the spirit was gone and it was over. So Lazarus wasn't just dead to Martha. He was dead, dead. I mean, he wasn't coming back. And so Martha, we're going to look later and she's going to describe the smell. And if you are a King James Version kind of person, then you would see that she described him and said, he's so dead that he stinketh. Anybody like that word? Maybe some of you got, Connor has got some smelly feet. I'm just going to tell you. There's some stinketh going on around those feet sometimes when we can smell it under a blanket when we're covered up. Or we can, just the moment he takes his shoes off, it's like, dude, you stinketh. There's some really rank odor coming from those feet. I'm sorry, Connor, if he hears this, but it's just true. So, but in this moment, she describes him as dead, dead. Look at verse 11. Here's Martha. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You took too long. Why didn't you do this when you could have done something about it? What she means is, why didn't you come back when you could have done something about it? She's dead in the delay. He took too long. It's too late. It's over. And not only was Jesus their friend, he was their hope. He was their Savior. And he had let them down. Now, if you notice, she's instantly, in this moment, she says, why couldn't you have come? She's looking at the past. She's looking back at what could have happened. You know, in Scripture, many times it encourages us to keep memories of when things went down, when God was faithful to us, because that builds our faith as we go forward, when God was good to us, when God carried us through a valley. But in this moment, Martha's looking back on a moment when Jesus wasn't there. And some of you, you've been praying for a loved one to experience God in such a real way, and the harder you pray, it seems the further they get away from God. And some of you, you wonder, where is God? We can't reconcile a loving God doing something in our past that would hurt us. And so we are dead in our delay. When we hear God, we think, where was he? So if that's you today, I can only hope and pray. I've been praying for you this week that this would speak to you. That the resurrection, not Jesus, Jesus is the resurrection, that he will bring you to life again. Many times when talking about this story, we tend to just cruise right through this because we know the end, because we want to just get to the good part. It's kind of like fast forwarding through a movie just to see the end. We kind of just want to hear, but yeah, Lazarus, he does come from the grave and all is well. So we kind of just skim through this. But in this moment, imagine what Martha and Mary are going through for those 4 days of waiting and wondering and questioning Jesus. Where was he? It's too late. Now, this next statement that Martha is going to make kind of reminds me I'm a sports guy. I know I use sports analogies. But it reminds me of momentum in basketball. Momentum works in any sport. You can watch golf, and a guy gets on a roll, and man, he can't mess up. He can't miss. Tennis, you can see it turn around. Football, baseball. Momentum is a huge thing in sports. But basketball is one of the ones that sticks out to me the most. If anybody watches NBA, it's amazing how a team can be struggling. They can be 15 points down, and they're getting dominated. And one bad pass, one blocked shot, one dunk, something happens, and that underdog team, the momentum catches, and they just take off on a 20-0 run, and all of a sudden, it's 5 points up on the other team. And you're like, how in the world did that happen? That's how momentum can shift. And if we look at this chapter and kind of break it down, Lazarus is sick. Thomas is freaking out. Jesus doesn't come. Mary's depressed. Martha's mad. And in the present, we're going to see a shift because of one statement that Martha makes. Verse 22, this is what Martha said. She said, first of all, she went to the past and said, why didn't you come? And then she says this, but I know that even now. Can you say even now? Say even now. In the present, see, everything happened in the past and she's focused on that, but she says this, she looks at the present and says, you're here now. And even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Even though she was dead in the delay, Mary was dead in the discouragement, Thomas was dead in doubt, but Jesus is there now, and even now God will give you whatever you ask. Some of us in this room need to have an even now moment with God, where He truly comes in this moment, and your momentum begins to shift, not because of something you do, but because of who He is. Martha's not saying this because of Martha or Mary or Lazarus. She's saying this because of who Jesus is. Even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Why? Because we serve a God and we understand that all things are possible with Him. Amen? Even now when you're discouraged, the presence of God can come in and build your faith. Even now when you feel alone, presence of the Holy Spirit that we just sang about can give you a peace that passes all understanding. Even now, our God can reach into your jacked up situation, whatever it may be, and He can fix it. Even now, in this moment. Verse 23, Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again. He just sets it straight. Now, she was looking at the past in the beginning. She focuses on the fact that Jesus is there and says, even now, God will do whatever you ask. And in the moment when Jesus says He will rise again, she's going to the future. She's thinking about the resurrection. She says, I know that He'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's not looking still at the moment. She's not realizing that Jesus is right there. She does realize it. She is with Him, and she says, even now you can do something. But she's just picturing, yeah, Lazarus will rise in the last day. She looks to the future. Jesus is still right here. He's still in the moment. And what does He say? He steps in and corrects her, and He said, I am the resurrection and the life. It's not an event. It's not a thing. It's a person. Jesus is the resurrection. Can you say amen to that? Come on, Jesus steps in and says, I am the resurrection. I am the one that will bring him to life. And He says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And He asked this question, and I want to ask you this morning. I want to read this line again. This is Jesus' words. You answer the question. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And what does Jesus say? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Right here, do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection? He is inviting us to live a life with Him. And when we do, our doubts and our discouragement and our delays are all taken away by our belief in who He is. Verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," He said. "But Lord," said Martha, and if you got a King James Version, you're going to find stinketh in there, "the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" He reminds her again. So for those of you, I just asked the question, do you believe this? Here's Jesus saying again, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Why? Because He is I Am. He is the resurrection. Jesus looks at the tomb where Lazarus is dead, and He said to His disciples, "Take the stone away." Jesus called out in a loud voice. Why a loud voice? I don't know. Maybe dead people can't hear as well. But He just said in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands, feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Now, once again, we have the luxury of already knowing this. Otherwise, at this point, we would be standing to our feet cheering because we would be amazed at the fact that Jesus just raised someone from the dead. Think about it. If this was the first time you were hearing this, what an incredible story. What an incredible moment to know that Jesus brought him to life in just a word. Why? Because He is the resurrection. But let's try to think about this from Martha and Mary for just a moment, who didn't know this was going to take place. Jesus comes rolling into town with old Stinketh. And just, hey, here He is. He's back. He's been gone for 4 days. Hopefully He took a bath. But all are wondering if Jesus is real and does He care. And in this moment, after all the tears that they've shed for 4 days, all the hurt, all the questions, all the doubt is disappearing in an instant when they see Lazarus come out of the grave. And I believe in this moment, many of us could relate to this, that maybe it is the wondering where Jesus was when in the past. Where was He when I went through this moment? Or maybe you're wondering if Jesus can really do what He says He can do right now in the present. Or maybe you're facing something that's coming in the future and you just don't know. You just can't be sure that Jesus is going to come through for you. And Jesus, here's the cool thing. He was the same when they called out to Him and sent a messenger and said, "Lazarus is sick." That same Jesus was the same one that rolled into town 4 days late. He was the same Jesus when He brought Lazarus out of the tomb. Why? Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That was weak. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I truly believe some of you are just sleeping. You know what? Even Jesus can't raise some of you. Okay? All right. Some of you may feel dead inside. You feel lost in your faith, lost in your hope. Dead and discouraged in doubt, and you feel trapped. But I tell you, we serve the resurrection today. We serve the one who can make a difference. And God, in His love and His mercy, cared enough about you to send Jesus to this earth to be one of us. But you have to believe. Jesus said it's the ones who believe. There is something on our part. It's not hard. There's times when it's hard. I'll take that back. There's times when it's hard. But it's through our belief that we find life. It's through our belief that we lose death, that we walk away from death, that we walk away from the tomb. It's in our belief. And Jesus is even asking, do you believe? Because I am the resurrection, and whoever believes in Me will never die. Will you bow your heads with me? I think there's three things I want to ask today. And we're just going to blanket prayer, cover all of them in one. But if you're in this place and you say, "Chad, I got to be honest with you, I deal with doubt. I struggle with believing sometimes. I just need a little prayer, a little something to give me the confidence in who Jesus is and to believe that He is the resurrection and that He wants the very best for me, even when I can't see it. And if that's you in this moment, I'm just asking you to lift your hand and we're going to pray together. Thank you. Anyone else? Can I be honest with you? Every one of you that are raising your hand, it's not because I see you. God sees your hand going up and He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're struggling with in that doubt. So if that's not you today, but you can say, Chad, I'm struggling in discouragement. I just feel like I can't get a break. And I'm dead in my discouragement this morning and I need prayer. And if that's you, I'm just asking you to lift your hand. Anyone in this room? Okay. Once again, Jesus knows. And some of you, you're questioning. You're dead in the delay. You really don't understand why Jesus didn't do something. If He truly loved me, where was He last week? Where was He 2 years ago? Where was He 5 years ago? And if that's you today, and you just want to be brought back to life in your faith in Him, in believing that He is able to do all things, if that's you today, I want to pray for you as well. Can you just lift your hand? Yeah. Heavenly Father, You see these hands. And You alone know the needs. So, Lord, we just give You a moment to do a work right now. Holy Spirit feels good when we're singing those worship songs, but it's in these moments that we need Him the most. That we would be aware of His presence and let Him move in our hearts. Father, I pray that as we walk out of this building today, that our faith would be bold. That we would believe that You are the resurrection. You are the life. And those who believe in You, we will live even if we die. But in every situation, may we cling to You. Just like last week when we said we must cling to the true vine. Lord, that we would do that. And in doing that, we're going to bear the fruit. That we would understand You are the good shepherd. And that You do care for us. You are watching over us. Even when it doesn't seem like it, You are there. May we be encouraged by that today. May we be empowered by that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to share one more story with you as we close. I'm going to invite the band to come back. You know what? I honestly did not plan this at all. I believe this was a God thing. But this song that we sang earlier, this new song that we introduced, I've been wanting to try to get that in. Did not realize it was going to be on the day that we sing, I Am the Resurrection. But how fitting could that be? So we're going to leave this place rejoicing today, singing this song together. But I want to share a story with you because I want you to understand how much Jesus loves you in these moments and how much He knows exactly where you are. I know we just prayed that, but look at Thomas. Doubting Thomas, if you want to look there, you can, or you can write it down. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. It says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Where did Jesus come from? He's been dead. Jesus is back to life. He showed up, but Thomas wasn't there. So the disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Look what Thomas says. He said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. This dude, he saw Lazarus raised from the dead. And look at this. Jesus has been raised from the dead. Don't you think the resurrection of all people could be resurrected? But he couldn't believe it. He had a checklist here of things he needed in order to believe. Verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Thank goodness he said, peace be with you. Can you imagine standing around in a locked house? Nobody else is there. And boom, Jesus shows up. Peace be with you. Yeah. You think? Verse 27. He says to Thomas, look at this. Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, all he could say, he had no response other than, my Lord, my God. And Jesus closes it out with this. Because you have seen me, you've believed. Some of you here, you can believe for a little while. You see something good happen. You get encouraged by someone else that God answered their prayer, and you're encouraged by that because you've seen something. But Jesus says this, blessed. Can you say blessed? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Blessed are you if even in your moment when it stinks and it is not good and it seems like God is not there, blessed are you if you will believe in that moment. Blessed are you if you can get the courage to say, God, I don't see you in this, but I know you're here. And I believe that you can bring the life that I need, the resurrection that I need in my moment. Will you stand to your feet with me? Blessed are you who can believe even when you have not seen. Church, we're going to come out of here rejoicing. Can you do that with me today? Can you? I said, that's weak. Can you do that with me today? All right, let's sing this together.